Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri lawmakers are deep in the process of crafting a budget for the 2026 fiscal year. And it's been a much different experience than the past couple of legislative sessions. Members of the Missouri House passed a roughly $48 billion budget this week. That's $2 billion less than what Governor Mike Kehoe requested earlier this year, and lower than what lawmakers have passed recently during more flush budgetary times. And while the Missouri Senate will undoubtedly have their own ideas about how to carve out the state budget, there's little question that the days of big, expensive state government plans may be over for now in Jefferson City. So how did we get here? To provide a clear picture of the state's darkening financial future, we're pleased to welcome back St. Louis Public Radio's State House and politics reporter, Sarah Kellogg. Sarah, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Jason, it's so good to be back. I've missed you.
I have missed you too. And we both have witnessed budgetary processes where lawmakers from both parties got to allocate huge amounts of money to projects that may have been unthinkable a few years before. Why has this year been so different?
I think the easiest answer is they've spent the money that they had to fund such big projects. You know, American Rescue Plan Act dollars, which was passed during the Biden administration, federal infrastructure dollars. They had until the end of last year to allocate those dollars, and now they have until 2026 to spend them. And so I think a big answer to that is that money's been allocated, and there isn't as much for kind of one-time big shiny projects like, you know, I-70 expansion being one of them. So I think that's kind of the biggest answer to your question.
What were some of the major items that Governor Kehoe wanted that the House removed from the first draft of the budget?
So two things really stand out. The first deals with raises for state workers. So Governor Kehoe wanted 1% raises for every 2 years served up to 20 years. So someone who has worked for the state for 20 years would have received a 10% pay raise. The House didn't fully deliver on that. They did do 1% raises every 2 years, but up to 10 years of service, so a maximum of a 5% raise. And Kehoe has said before, you know, multiple times that he's witnessed, you know, a state worker at a grocery store pay for their groceries with food stamps, highlighting a need to pay them more. So I have a feeling that might be something that changes in the Senate. Another thing that isn't in the House version is tens of millions of federal dollars meant to go towards child care subsidies. And this is something Kehoe had in his budget, but then the House took out. The argument there is that they've had, you know, there's enough there for 1 year. What happens when the next year rolls around? That's the House Republican argument. I have a feeling that might change in the Senate as well.
Here's House Budget Chairman Dirk Deaton, a Republican from McDonald County in southwest Missouri, explaining why his colleagues passed a smaller budget than years past and a smaller budget than what Governor Kehoe wanted.
Not only is this $47.9 billion state operating budget one that is perhaps less than we've seen in recent years, and we're proud to have found savings and efficiencies across state government, we also continue to have really a historic surplus, although it is being drawn down, but still leaving $2 billion on the bottom line. This will, you know, continue to be a budget that is sound, not just this year, next year, but well into the future as well.
That was Dirk Deaton, a Seneca Republican, about the passage of the 2026 fiscal year budget out of the Missouri House. Sarah, why do you think that keeping so much money in the bank was such an emphasis for the GOP majority?
I mean, I feel like that's normally their MO. I think last couple of years is abnormal because you had so many federal dollars kind of staring you in the face that you had to spend. It's speculation. Maybe they would have saved more if they were able to. You know, you have to remember also that a lot of the money that was spent the last couple budgets went to one-time projects like expanding I-70. They weren't annual costs. So I feel like the attitude has been, saving for a rainy day, even when there is historic funding. So it feels like projections of revenue kind of align with what Republicans normally try to do with the budget.
I mentioned this is the first draft of the budget because the Missouri Senate has historically made substantial changes to the budget after it passes the House. Are there any major alterations you're expecting once it goes through the chamber besides the state employee raises that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, the raises and the child care subsidies, I feel like, are going to be really kind of something that's changed on the Senate side because that's something that Governor Kehoe wants. You know, another area where I expect possible change is in education. So the budget, even though it provided enough money to fund all of the requirements of a wide-reaching education bill passed last year, it does fall roughly $300 million short of fully funding the state's foundation formula for public K-12 education. And this was something that was brought up again and again by Democrats. This could be looked at in the Senate. I do have to note this is something that Kehoe actually mentioned, too. So the House and Republicans and Kehoe are united on this front. So we'll see what the Senate does. But the Senate's kind of known for adding more money while the House is known for kind of taking it away. Another area is $50 million that's going to the Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Accounts Fund. And this account allows families to get funding to send their children to the school of their choice, including private schools. And before this, the fund had just relied on donations. This is now the state government putting state dollars into this account, which could be used for private schools. So Democrats are not happy about this at all, especially because of that roughly $300 million shortfall in the foundation formula. So we'll see if the Senate reduces that. I'm not sure, because again, that's something that Kehoe wanted as well, but we'll wait and see. We got a couple more weeks till we see what the Senate version looks like.
It's obviously impossible to predict the future, but it's not an unreasonable assumption that Missouri could not only see less federal funding for a host of different programs, but we could also see a downturn in the economy if President Donald Trump's tariffs backfire. I just heard on the NPR newscast that the Dow is down 1,600 points today, or 1,500 points. It changed within the newscast. Are Republicans who control the legislature taking these possibilities into account?
So Deaton was asked this during a press conference yesterday, and he said that's something that he's keeping an eye on. But, they're hearing a lot of things related to that. And he said he doesn't worry too much about things that he can't control. And I would imagine that falls under the category of that, of obviously he's keeping an eye on it. But really, right now, what can they do that would blow a giant hole in the budget that right now they don't have to worry about? And who knows what will happen.
State Representative Betsy Fogel, a Democrat from Springfield, also brought up another very foreboding possibility for the state budget, that the federal government will reduce its match that pays for Missouri's Medicaid expansion program.
If the Medicaid reimbursement rates change in some of the recommended ways that President Trump has suggested, I think, or objectively, that will blow a very large hole in the budget. It was hard to be fiscally responsible and thoughtful when we're crafting the state budget when there's so much uncertainty at the federal level.
That was State Representative Betsy Fogel, a Democrat from Springfield, talking about the possibility of Medicaid cuts on the Missouri state budget. Sarah, are Republicans seriously concerned about the scenario Fogel illustrated?
I would say yes. Again, that's something that state lawmakers can't really control right now. But Deaton did say, and this is the quote, that, quote, if the federal government reduces their participation in any shared program that would require greater demand or general revenue, that would be incredibly challenging, specifically within our Medicaid program. So I think it's something they're definitely thinking about. But again, kind of what can they do right now about it unless it's a problem that they have to address? And how do you make up for, billions of dollars in a budget? I think that's kind of it's on our mind, but until we have to face it, maybe they won't. We'll see.
Yeah, we can't predict what a U.S. House with a 4-seat majority is going to do. And I think bringing the match down from like 90% to 60% may be a heavy lift. But we'll see. That's why Congress has to Congress, so to speak. I know Governor Kehoe talked a couple months ago with us about his desire to phase out Missouri's income tax. And there are a number of tax cut bills that have been marinating within the legislative process. Is it possible that a combination of economic uncertainty and federal government instability could temper those conversations?
You know, we'll see. In my time covering the legislature, this is my fourth session, I have not seen such a push for so many different tax cuts. Personal property taxes, income taxes, capital gain taxes. There's a ton of bills in this building right now. And it really depends on what gets through to the finish line. And then I guess kind of the pen of Governor Kehoe. And, you know, actually this past week, and we'll have more reporting on this once it passes the Senate, but a House bill that contained a capital gains tax like reduction is basically one vote away in the Senate from going back to the House, and not only the capital gains tax, which I believe it actually delays it again, but there's more details to come on that. But it also contains tax relief that Democrats want, like exempting taxes on diapers and period products. So we're kind of see kind of that bill. That's the closest thing to passing the finish line right now. There's a lot of other bills. We'll follow them as they go through.
We're talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg about the basically midway point of the 2025 legislative session, a little bit more than midway. And obviously the budget is top of mind right now, but I would be remiss if I didn't note the GOP legislature has had a very fast start to this session. They passed major public safety and utility legislation before spring break, which is unheard of. It's almost as if Governor Kehoe cured the years of GOP infighting in like 2 months. How in the heck did this happen, Sarah?
Term limits. There are some people, and this is obviously one person's opinion, but there are some people who are not in the Senate anymore. And I really do think that's making a difference. There's less butting heads. The Freedom Caucus, which really was a thorn in the side of Republican leadership, is working together, you know, the four member, you know, with Republican leadership on things, you know, of the four members, two of them are new. Clearly, there's a different strategy, you know, that people want. And there's also not really a House versus Senate mentality that I've seen. You know, my first year covering the legislature, I saw then Speaker Rob Vescovo say at the end of the year that he did not think the Senate respected the House. And so far, I've already seen Senate Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin and Speaker of the House Sean Patterson praise one another in working together. It just feels really different. Another thing I could credit is governor involvement. You know, other than the budget, and with a couple exceptions, former Governor Mike Parson really felt hands off in a way that I think Kehoe isn't. And maybe it was more behind the scenes than I was able to realize, but it just feels like there's more involvement on the second floor.
Interestingly, though, there was a Senate kerfluffle earlier this week when Senator Mike Moon of Lawrence County tried to block former Senate President Pro Tem Dave Schatz's nomination as Franklin County Commissioner, presiding commissioner. Moon's efforts failed, and now Schatz gets to serve in that position through the end of 2026. Was this a temporary hiccup or a sign that that dreaded Senate dysfunction is returning before the end of the legislative session?
You know, I think it's a hiccup. I think Moon keeps a list of senators he might not like or that are not there anymore. It happened with Schatz. He held up Hegeman's seat, then Senator Hegeman, who's now on the Transportation Board. And unlike before, when there was, you know, last year specifically, there was a united front from Freedom Caucus members, as well as I think Moon participated in that as well. I can't 100% remember, held up some appointees for leverage. You know, it was just Moon. You know, I think that we'll see. He definitely seemed quite angry at times. We're going to see if he starts to speak up a little bit more, but I mainly think it was just a hiccup.
In the last minute or so, one area where the GOP doesn't seem to be on the same page is an effort to repeal and replace Amendment 3, a measure that placed abortion rights protections in the Missouri Constitution. Some Republicans want to include a host of exceptions in the case of rape, incest, or health of the mother. Others are less keen on that idea. Where is this proposed ballot item in the process? And is it possible this could be a 2026 issue rather than an end of 2025 issue?
I think the likelihood of that grows every day that they don't have something on the floor. There's a resolution on the Senate side that has passed committee, but is yet to see floor time. It passed out of committee in early March. In the House heard its version back in early February, and that's where it sat in committee until this past Monday when they voted it out of committee. And since it's been introduced in the House, it's already been changed twice. So there's been three versions. We'll see, you know, if it changes even more. I think it shows that there's not a united front, and maybe this isn't something that gets done this session, because if it was one of the bigger priorities, like the public safety bill that we mentioned, it probably would already be in another chamber. I will just see.
In the last 30 seconds, anything else you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, there is an effort to basically remove the mandated sick leave that was passed through Prop A. That is on the way in the Senate. It actually passed out of committee already, so that's a House bill, so that could be moving fast. There's also the House gave perfection to a bill that would reinstate the presidential primary and also extend absentee voting from 2 weeks to 6 weeks the in person. So we'll see how far that goes, but that has a lot of bipartisan support. There could be a push there.
Sarah Kellogg is St. Louis Public Radio State House and politics reporter. Sarah, thank you as always for joining us today.
You're welcome, Jason. Good to be here.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.